then let's unite in prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee tonight as we enter again into Thy presence to worship, recognizing that Thou art with us even to the end of this age, when the majesty of Thy reappearing, the glory of Thy kingdom shall be established in the earth. Thankful, our Father, that we have knowledge of our relationship unto Thee, that You have given unto us Thy word, You have unveiled it through the lips of the patriarchs and the prophets and the apostles. You have made known unto us by the witness of Thy Spirit that we are Thy household, that we are Thy children. Thy Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Thankful, our Father, for this realization and for the realization that we are not of this world, but we are in this world, because You have sent us in to accomplish Thy purposes in the establishment of Thy kingdom, that this world has become our inheritance because it belongs unto Thee, and You have ordained that Thy kingdom shall triumph. We're thankful, our Father, that You have bestowed upon us sufficient power to survive through the conditions which face Thy kingdom, that You have determined from the very beginning that Thy kingdom shall be victorious, the powers of darkness and the forces of evil shall be defeated here in the earth. We're thankful for that which You have consummated for us in the majesty of Thy atonement and Thy conquest of the grave. We thank Thee, our Father, that in this hour the power of Thy Spirit shall be made manifest, that the children of Thy kingdom shall triumph over the powers of evil. Cause us to recognize the course of Thy responsibilities as You place them upon us, and we urge, our Father, that You grant unto each one of us a realization of Thy guidance, that we might know how to meet the problems of this hour and to triumph over it in Thy name. As we commit ourselves to Thy hand, we say, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. In Thy name we ask, our Father, that You should grant unto each one of us the power to bear witness. Amen. In this great nation under God, we have watched the fulfillment of the last 175 years of some of the greatest evidences of the fruition of God's covenants and promises upon a people. To those who are students of this book, it is impossible for a nation like this, or for a civilization like that of the Western civilization and culture of which we are part, to develop and expand in the earth without its having had the attention of prophecy or the proclamations as it relates to its destiny by the Most High God. We have before us in our possession the Holy Scriptures. The Holy Scriptures contain all the books that have been written by the prophets under inspiration. All the Holy Scriptures are not found in the book we call the Bible, but the Bible contains 64 books of Holy Scriptures and two books which are there by probable permission, which are not inspired at all. However, we mention this because they are the Songs of Solomon and the book of Esther. But generally speaking, the other books contain the name of God. These two have not the name of God in it. All the others contain the name of God in the areas of inspiration. There are a great number of books which contain the great truths and the mighty revelations of the Most High. And these are called these scroll scriptures. And so we possess within them a code of the things which God intends for our household and our race to know. As we clearly discover, the Adamic race of this book are the peoples whose genealogy is important unto God. We are vitally interested tonight in genealogy. It is important unto a people to know from whence they have come and how pure they have maintained the vision and the revelation that God has bestowed upon them. We are cautioned in the Scripture to pay no attention to vain genealogies, and vain genealogies do not interest us. We do not care how far back they try to trace their ancestry. There is nothing that the Negro can produce in genealogy tonight that is of any importance or is significant to us at all. We are not interested in the potentates of Asia or the identification of any individual to the background of the antiquities of ancient Asia. To us, these are vain genealogies. But a genealogy which takes and preserves its structure back down to the days of Adam and then points out in all the areas of its responsible connection that it has sought to maintain the purity which God has ordained, this is not a vain genealogy. This is a most important genealogy. That is one of the reasons why in the book of Matthew, in the book of Luke, we have the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And we point out to you that though this is the embodiment of God, it was important that the human vessels and the identity of all that was related to his household to be traced back to Adam, who is declared in that genealogy is the Son of God. We are interested tonight in the Adamic race because as citizens of the Adamic race, as people who are a part of the white society that God established in the earth, it is vital and important unto us that there be no mutation and that there be a preservation of this genealogy. The vessels which God has provided for the carrying forward of the holy seed was that Adamic household. We point out to you that all through the books of the Scripture, whether they are brought together with that peculiar affinity with which they drop into place like mosaic, because you can fit together all that is inspired by the Holy Spirit. You cannot put together, nor can you fit in, anything that is not out of the Word of God. That is one of the reasons why we have such a hard time today among the ecclesiastical systems of Christianity to make all the positions of the church fit. Because the physical order of the church today is trying to put together things which are not of God, and many of them are the commandments of men, and they're bringing catastrophe today upon the physical structure of the outer church. We point out to you that the most important thing that we can consider are the first things which are the foundations upon which God's Word is built. The foundations upon which His kingdom will find its destiny has been laid in the purposes of the Most High. There is no doubt in our minds tonight that whatsoever God says, He says forever. Nothing can be added to it, nothing can be taken from it, because whatsoever He does forever. Because He's God, He has the full power to do this. Because you are the children of God, you are heirs of God. And as heirs of God, you are capable of thinking His thoughts and building with a blueprint which His Spirit by inspiration gives. You can produce civilizations and culture that surpasses anything that has existed in the earth. And you have given evidence to this with the rise of your Western civilization, given its great spiritual dynamic by the mighty power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We point out to you that Christian civilization stands head and shoulders above all the earth and is as high above all other world systems as the heavens are above the earth. And we cite to you tonight that the most important commitment that could be given to you is to preserve this which has been handed to you by the will of the Father. And with the perfect stewardship which God requires out of His household, continue to pass on and preserve this civilization which shall continue to occupy the earth throughout all the ages to come. We tell you that we are in conflict for survival. We are in a struggle against the powers of darkness. And we have today every satanic deception that has been designed by the forces of Lucifer to try to destroy this civilization, this culture, this race, and the kingdom of the Most High God. It is with this knowledge then that we discover that the world orders have very carefully and subtly designed throughout all periods of time to integrate and mongrelize the race with seduction, with bestiality, with fallen angelic orders seeking to mutate human society. And they have brought upon the earth by their machinations catastrophes one upon the other. In the antiquities of ancient yesterday, by violations of divine law, by the elements of witchcraft, and by struggle against the powers of righteousness, the whole world has been racked at the highest vibratory levels. Catastrophes have transpired and civilizations have gone down beneath the waters of the oceans, their continents lost with only a few islands left to mark the patterns of one great landmasses that stood above the waters. We may go out over the background of antiquity and discover that hidden away in the floors of the jungles, whether it be in Africa or in the Mato Grosso of South America, civilizations were wiped out, cultures are gone, because in their violation of divine law, they lived their hour with Lucifer, they served the darkness, and they worshiped the beast. I tell you tonight, it is the most important thing for us to remember that we also, as the household of God, are under instructions to obey His word. And among the nations of the world, even in this hour also, the edict still goes out that certain laws God will not tolerate to be violated, and the violation of these laws, the continued design to destroy God's kingdom, will bring catastrophe upon the powers of darkness, even as great as it has been in the past upon those forces that resisted His word. We point out to you that a great number of people are intimidated today by the size and the numbers and by what we refer to as the power of the world order. This world order is a political power that exists in what we now call this cosmos. Actually, the old Greek word cosmos did not just mean the creation. It meant the world order or the powers that ruled the world. It is these words we find in the lips of Jesus when he said at that time to Pontius Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this cosmos or of this world order. If my kingdom were of this world order and of this hour, then would my servants fight and the kingdom would not be given to the Jews." I think this is a very important passage when Jesus said this to Pontius Pilate, because he established then that the world order and the evil order and the Jewish order were one and the same. I also point out that the passages in context also show, and the early church fathers understood and reserved these facts, that Jesus also had made this statement when he was seized in the garden and stood before the powers that sought to try, that my kingdom is not in this hour to be fulfilled, but the day will come when my servants will fight and the kingdom shall not be occupied by the Jews. I point out to you that Jesus also said in the book of Matthew that since the days of John the Baptist till now, the kingdom of heaven and the earth suffers violence, and the violent take it by storm. But the hours are coming when the saints of the Most High God are going to take the kingdom, and they're going to possess the kingdom forever and ever and ever. It is the prophecies that God had given unto Daniel. And then by the declarations of the prophecies in the 18th chapter of the book of Revelation, he talks about the world order and its system. Mystery Babylon the Great, and with violence shall that great city Babylon be cast down to rise no more. Now the scriptures bear full prophecy of the defeat of the forces of darkness and the powers of evil. They talk about the rise of God's kingdom. And the secret from Genesis to Revelation is the secret of a people and of a household, of a growing society and of a civilization, the increase of which kingdom there shall be no end. I point out to you tonight that in the face of these facets of design, that always the mutation of God's word is the basic strategy. The design to get people to refute the laws and the orders of God. And by so doing, weaken their strength. There is no doubt Lucifer understands the source of your greatness. Questions are often raised about what a Christian should do or what is our position in the world at the present time, when there are many things which we see transpiring about within this nation and throughout the nations of our civilization which seem to be diametrically opposed to the things in God's Word. I have had many say, "Do you not think that we should keep this faith to ourselves while we pray for a better day? Do you think that we should make any resistance against these things when they become apparently the patterns of law?" I point out to you that there are certain things within this book with which you are commanded to perform, in which you must obey. There are some things we must recognize concerning our race. When at any time, while we are not under captivity and being held in bondage by powers which are holding us, our race, our faith, and society under their control, we are responsible for what develops inside of our nation as long as we have a balance of power and can exert it. We will not be passed off lightly if the peoples that constitute our civilization and culture permit a downward trend, minority developed, and anti-Christ controlled to put out the light of a great nation like this nation of ours. You are responsible in stewardship as a people for this which God has committed unto you and your forebears have created. And if it has been created by vision and by sacrifice and by courage, and then is to be dissipated in a generation by those that are not showing sufficient courage and sacrifice, then they in their stewardship must answer and account for the chastisements, judgments, and catastrophes that descend upon their society. I point out to you tonight that the laws of God have never been changed. These laws are not only found in the commandments that were issued upon Mount Sinai, but of the laws and the ordinances that related to the various facets of development. There are ordinances today, the handwriting of which was nailed to the cross of Christ. It does not place us under individual condemnation that would separate us from the purposes of the love of God. But there are whole areas of divine wisdom and knowledge bestowed upon a people that the disobedience of these areas of instruction will bring upon your race unprecedented catastrophe in any area of its violation. It is also well clarified throughout the writings of the Old Testament as well as the New, that if men who are the household of God do not listen to the voice of God, do not respond to His direction, then they reap the catastrophe which the ignoring of these areas of advice will produce. We point out to you that in these United States tonight, we are in a very serious condition. This nation started out with a declaration of independence and was blessed of God in that God was raising up a great new nation under the outstretched wings of an eagle, as the 18th chapter of Isaiah denotes. It was noted that we were a powerful nation from our beginning, from this time onward. But because we were a nation which was not ashamed in the earliest colonial days to proclaim its identity with God, to declare from the areas of its pulpits that we were a people as is Israel, and even identified themselves with Israel in many instances throughout the background of their history. They held up the standards of Christ, and the recognition of Christ in every one of the colonies before we were states was one of the self-evident patterns of our history. We were a nation that believed and worshipped the Most High God. We have never had a period of history where educators and brainwashers of our time want to so downgrade the spiritual heritage of our society. They want to laugh off those that were our settlers. They want to say that their morals were bad, their ethics were bad, their faith was of no account, that they were atheists and agnostics, and they were the scum of the earth. But I want to tell you, the people today that are trying to destroy your nation are the scum of the earth. It took men of faith and men of vision carving this nation out of a wilderness in the face of hostility, praying and worshiping as they went, building their churches as well as their homes in their community. And in almost every community of the American frontier, the church was the center of its society. Its inspiration and its background in the building of this nation became self-evident in the days when we became a nation, and it was done with prayer. And when we produced the Constitution, after men prayed and meditated upon this, and even took time out from their discussions to prepare the background of the guidance of God in this matter. Now, when we survey the beginnings of our nation, from the very beginning, the various bodies of our national life were open with recognition of God. We opened congressional sessions and senatorial sessions with prayer. We opened the various areas of all of our state official activities with prayer. Never was there a civic activity unless the name of God was invoked, and all of these activities recognized Jesus the Christ. So outstanding have been these identifications of our nation with our God that the Supreme Court has on numerous occasions been forced to rule on the basis of the evident fact that the United States is a Christian nation. Now I point out to you that every attempt to change this is taking place. We tonight in these United States have an unprecedented lot of people that we cannot absorb and we cannot assimilate and do not fit into the scheme and the background of our nation. The reason is that these people have come over to live as parasites upon you, and at the same time seek to take over your society, and with their minority powers they seek by chicanery and cunning to rule in this nation. Tonight we do not look at America as in 1776 or at any previous period prior to the 20th century. We must look at America tonight and in the middle of the greatest period of world upheaval of all time. We must consider this nation and what has transpired within it within the last generation. And we must recognize that we are responsible in the meeting of the problems of our society to turn to the laws of God for the solution. I point out to you that we are being denied in this nation now by edict. Someone says by law. I refuse now or at any time to accept that a custom which has been in effect throughout the entire history of our nation, in a Christian nation, which violates no part of our Constitution, can be considered against the law today because some imbeciles have so stated. When they say that we cannot pray in our schools or our assemblies, or that instruction in moral responsibility and in an ethical consciousness and in a historical relationship with God is no longer subject matter to be taught in our schools because it is of a religious nature, when they say this, they are therefore setting aside the laws of God that have instructed us concerning the training of our youth and concerning paying respect unto God. The fact remains that no argument that can be brought forth that we have churches for this matter and Sunday schools to carry out this responsibility can change the fact that we must have in our educational systems across this nation proper respect and correlation between their service and respect to God, between His guidance and His inspiration, and between the edicts of His Word and the creating of their culture. You remove God out of America and you get this beatnikism today that's ruining the juvenile level of our society. The more you take God out, the more you're going to fill your thinking in this nation with everything that Lucifer is ready to run in its substitute. Now the question is being asked, especially as in Michigan, they are in the midst of a number of controversies in some communities, and this is also true in Minnesota and others. School after school has continued to open their assemblies with prayer. They've continued to read the Bible, and now orders are being given that they must desist. And these various school boards have met, and they find that the people that make up their local parent-teachers association and their voting consistency have instructed their teachers and they have instructed their representatives and their principals that you shall continue to pray in our schools and you shall continue to open the classes every day as you come into this school with prayer and with Bible reading. The result has been that pressure has been brought on, and the so-called Civil Liberties Union, which you can never tell where it's going to be because it's filled with left-wingers and pinkos that take advantage of many right situations and generally move in to swing them to the left. Well, they have had the Unitarians, which haven't any religion at all, and they have the Jews, which are against Christianity, and they say they represent them, and they have appealed to the court to see that in these eastern states or in any communities of them, they shall not pray. They said we have people that are offended by prayer. Well, we could do well without people that are offended by prayer. They say it's an insult to their Jewishness to hear a mention of Jesus Christ. Well, fine, then let them go to Jewish schools if they don't like it here. The one who said this is a democracy, but it's not, it's a republic. We point out to you that we have, from the very beginning, therefore, given this official recognition. Official recognition without heart recognition is not as important as you might think. There is no doubt that when you tell the people of these United States you can't do something that God has willed and ordained and has permitted and has asked for throughout all periods of time, that you're in trouble. So in the last few weeks, they have been stepping up that instruction. In fact, among Lutherans in the evangelical groups and the Covenant Evangelical and the Dutch Reform and a great number of these peoples, they have been taking a firm stand. In other churches, including many Baptists and others, are joining with them. And now they are instructing school boards, we don't care what courts say, we pray here, we pay the taxes here, you work for us here. In these schools, we shall pray. Attorneys are asking for federal intervention to put these things down. They are asking the people to immediately desist. The people have not yet desisted. Oh, there's always a few people on the outside. They're crying, what's going to transpire? Oh, we can't be an insurrection against the law. This is not the law. Now I point this out to you, that in this nation we can make no laws abridging an establishment of religion. Nor, my friends, can we deny a people a freedom of speech or a freedom of worship, nor can we deny them carrying out the responsibilities of that worship. Nor can we remove the influences of parents from our children. Nor, my friends, can we take away from a people the training that have been given to their children, which if they have been trained up in the way of the Lord will not depart out of it. So I point to you that in this hour, this is becoming a great issue. For while we are watching suppression of the divine law, and while we are watching an actual violation of the rights of states, and we are listening even to chief executives call for violation of the Constitution itself, and while they have been marching troops into the South to support their errors, they now are faced with civil disobedience in the states of the central and northern parts of these United States. The question was a trick question. The question was asked even by telephone. You know, sometimes I think that they attempt entrapment. They say, would you advise these people to obey the law or disobey it? The entrapment is to try to get those who are clergy that believe in the right to tell people, disobey the law. I do not tell you to disobey the law. I tell you this is not the law. Someone may say, but the opinions of this court make it the law. No, the opinions of this court just make them subject to impeachment. Let us turn then to our area of Christian responsibility. Among those that Christ chose for his disciples were men who were able in their own work, but not necessarily trained in the areas of theology. He chose Peter and James and John, fishermen, unlearned men from the standpoint of academic and ecclesiastical knowledge, though they had within them the patterns of faith and hope. He chose Matthew, who was seated at the seat of the custom. He stopped and called Luke to leave his office as a beloved physician, which meant he was a good doctor. He called these men from their various walks of life, and they followed him. Now, I would not say that anybody had a better ecclesiastical preparation for the ministry than people that had walked with God for 3 years. This in itself would have been experience that should have adjusted and adapted these men to a vast comprehension in the things of God beyond the average clergy of our time. And I would point out that with the mighty workings of the Holy Spirit, which descended with cognition upon these men, whose mouths were filled with knowledge and with wisdom, these were the startling things about these disciples. But let us consider Peter and James and John. We have a definite record of the fact that their eloquence under the Spirit, their experiences with God, and all that was being brought now to their remembrance made them well foundational apostles for the work which they were to do as the clergy and ministers within the church. So as they were proclaiming the gospel and declaring to the peoples of Palestine the identity and the work of Christ, we discover that they were suddenly seized. And we point out here that when they preached, it said that people marveled at Peter and John. And they perceived that though they were unlearned men and might have been classified as ignorant, they marveled at their eloquence, their knowledge, their vision, their understanding. I want to tell you this. Never classify as ignorant or unlearned those who the Spirit of God moves to develop wisdom and understanding in truth. For I can tell you tonight that I lay charge that we have an unlearned ministry across this land in the things of God, which is their most important requisite. I charge that under these instances, you may send our clergy to university after university and seminary after seminary to be taught, my friends, a constant repetition of rules and regulations and church doctrine. But if they do not perceive and understand the program of the kingdom, do not know their identity, from whence they've come, or what the plan of God is, they, my friends, become like an empty trumpet with no voice. Now listen. The Scripture said that one thing they saw about Peter and John, that though they had been ignorant men and unlearned from the standpoint of ecclesiastical hierarchies and had been but fishermen before they were called, they were no longer this way, and it says that they took knowledge of them, for they perceived that they had been with Jesus. Let me tell you this, for your race, for your nation, there is nothing more important for the consciousness of man than to be knowledgeable that they have been with Jesus. They have been influenced by what Jesus said. They are thinking the thoughts that Jesus propounded. They have a blueprint in their mind for a civilization, a kingdom, and a culture as Christ ordained. They perceive that they had been with Jesus. There isn't anything that you could be more proud of in all of your life than after you had passed by, people said of you, we perceive that he's been with Jesus. Let me point out that they didn't like Peter and John, and the Jews that ran the temple, the Sadducees and the chief priests, they did not like the name of Jesus. They were more worried about Jesus after his resurrection than they were before. They were more worried about his disciples with the dynamic that was sweeping and gathering the people. For the Spirit of God, we are told here in the second chapter of Acts, was adding to the church daily such as should be saved. Someone said, weren't they all to be saved? No, God never wastes any time gathering up Jews. Now let's turn a look at take a look at this picture. And it said, therefore, that they seized Peter and John. And they one of the things that was most disturbing when they heard Peter and John was that these men had, under the various instances of their ministry, had performed the works of God. A lame man that had not walked from his birth under the power of the Spirit, as Peter preached, was restored to a vitality that he had never known in his lifespan. He was given the ability to walk, and he leaped and shouted and thanked God for this. And you know, this was the most sorry incident for the Jews. They wanted to suppress Peter and John. They had a miracle that many people had witnessed, and they knew it had taken place. They didn't know what to do with it. So, they therefore said, what shall we do? And when they commanded them to go out aside out of the council, they wanted to send them out so they could thus discuss this. They said, what shall we do? They have done a notable miracle, and these that dwell in Jerusalem, we cannot deny, have observed it. Now that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them that they speak thenceforth to no man in the name of Jesus. The first thing, then, the order was to come from the authority that they could not speak in the name of Jesus. When this was done, why, they called to Peter and John, and they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Yahshua or Jesus. And Peter and John answered them with this historic statement, whether be it right in the sight of Yahweh God to hearken unto you more than unto Yahweh, judge ye. The beginning of defense for every intelligent Christian should be in this hour, whether it be it right for us to hearken unto God and unto His laws, or to hearken under these edicts that are being created by those that have no conscious guidance or perception by the Most High, by the course which they take. Are we to accept to take this which they call law and obey it in defiance of God? Or are we to take the laws of God and obey it and not respect, my friends, these unconstitutional measures? There are those that say that this should never be discussed in the church. The time has come when we better discuss it and set America aflame. It's a rather significant thing, of course, that even an ecclesiastical order that is seeking to destroy truth and light does not dare come out in front of the people and say disobey God or they don't have any authority. Even the President of the United States would be on a spot to tell you that you must disobey God. And he wouldn't want to challenge you to debate with him whether or not it was or was not the Word of God that he served. Because it's too easy to establish what the Word of God says. If he had to listen to all the passages at one time on what this Bible says against integration and what it says about preservation of kind and segregation and the laws of God and in respect to our culture and our race, he'd be so swamped with Bible truth that he wouldn't dare raise his voice against the people that are Christians in this nation. I turn back from these men who they had to let go, Peter and John. For though they further threatened them, they let them go. But they were afraid to punish them because they had challenged the people. Because their message had been, thus saith the Lord, because it was right, because they were getting results, because they were challenging, even though they didn't want to, they threatened them. But they had to let them go, because if you laid hands on them, all the people would have exploded. They admit here that this is a dangerous thing. I'm going to tell you something. You know that one of the best and the most important defenses you have in America is thus saith the Lord. And the more you repeat it, the more you spread it, and the more you wake America up with it, the safer you are. For woe unto them if they put their hands on those that say thus saith the Lord, because they also have to deal with the people. The best defense in this day is the positive approach on the side of God against the darkness. But woe unto those that start to evaluate in dollars and cents as the price too great to pay to serve God. Or those that think that they shall save their possessions in this turbulent hour by marching in conformity with the patterns of law that are in violations with the law of God and not speaking out against it. For I can assure you that they that seek to save their possessions like their lives will lose it, and those that would expend them for my sake, the same shall find it, and the restoration that God shall make upon those that are his servants and upon their households shall be even as it was in the time of Job. Let me point this out to you. The old adage that whatever is in authority you must obey is also a fallacy and has not been ordained or taught of God. Let us go back into the book of Daniel in the 3rd chapter to a historic message that you heard from the time you were children. In the days when Daniel was one of the advisors to Nebuchadnezzar and was known as a wise man, and yet there was always trying to bring the downfall of the savants of God and of your race. And there were three individual men who were among those who worked in the areas of government with Daniel as advisors that were very loyal and accurate in the discharging their responsibilities, but they were raised with a background in the inheritance and the culture of your race. They served only one God, the mighty Yahweh. So Lucifer came along and said, we'll do this rather skillfully, and so his children advised Nebuchadnezzar that all honor should be given unto him. And therefore the king sent together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, even the sheriffs, it says here. So they had sheriffs back in that day too. And they put them all together and they said that they're going to have a dedication of the image of the king, and all men must fall down and worship it. And so they set a decree at a given time. All men were going to worship this. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, three men of your race in that hour, refused to bow down and worship. It was the law. A law had been passed. Thou shalt bow down to the image. And they would not bow down. You say, well, thank goodness they haven't told us that in America. They're asking you to bow down to the Babylonian order of the Antichrist. They're asking you to support it, to pay your taxes into it. They're asking you to give assent to it. They're asking you not to resist it. They're asking you to surrender faith in one God for a world order conglomeration of recognitions of all religions. He said, it is quite clear we shall not bow down. And so they didn't fall down and they didn't worship the image of Nebuchadnezzar. We're told that the spies reported right back to the king and said, behold, here are three that are in thy employ. They're friends of Daniel's. These three men did not bow down and worship. Oh, the king said, I hadn't thought about them. Well, we'll give them another chance. So they said to these three men, if you will bow down and worship and obey the law, you shall live. If you don't, you're going to die. You know, there's one historic answer in here that I like, should fill the heart of every individual and face to answer this. And then said Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. God, give us American citizens that are not careful to answer the Antichrist. There's nothing quite as disgusting as people that are trying to find a careful answer today. We don't need careful answers. We need men that will bind the darkness, men that will curse the evil, a man that will lift up a divine standard. We need men that tell off everybody from the president on down that we're tired of Martin Luther Kings and communists, and we're tired of all of the filth that they're seeking to destroy America with. We are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so that you are going to put us to death, our God, whom we serve, shall be able to deliver us from thy fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. And if it be not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we shall not serve thy gods, nor worship thy golden image, which thou hast set up. They had refused to obey the law. So they built the furnace hot, and they heaped it with fuel till it was hotter than even normal. The great wind drafts were to increase its heat until the very furnace was so red with heat, and then so white with it, that those that approached the furnace to throw the three men in were destroyed by the flames. I like also this pattern of the support of God for this kind of courage. For Nebuchadnezzar also approached to look in the furnace as he heard that there was something different going on here. They said, "There is a fourth man now in the furnace." And the king looked in and said, "Well, I see four men walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the fourth one is like unto the Son of God, the embodiment of God among them." And they could not destroy them. And in the instance of this, they were called to come forth, and they came forth. And princes and governors and captains and counselors were gathered together, and they saw the men. And upon these bodies, fire had had no power to harm a single hair of their heads, nor singe their coats or their clothes as they came out. Why? Because they had had the courage to stand in the cause of God with the law of God that says, "Thou shalt worship no other God before me." To say, "We are not careful to answer thee in this matter." I'm going to tell you that our faith is the evidential developing work of tomorrow. It's a substance of spiritual energy that God sends upon a people that can be demonstrated. The time has come for Christians all over to stop trying to appease and apologize for their faith and try to modify it down so it pleases the strangers that don't like it. I wouldn't stop praying in the name of Jesus Christ or lifting up His name or carrying on public recognition of Him for all the Jews in the world, let alone the Jews in Hollywood. And I'll tell you what will happen. If this scurvy sons of Satan continue to try to destroy the kingdom and crush down the gospel, they're going to make the kingdom of God, as it wakes up, so angry and so mad that there won't be a Canaanite left in the house of God. If you'll stop thinking like you're a minority that's beaten down and start thinking like the majority whose fathers and forefathers built this nation, then you'll take possession of your land and the laws of God will be restored. There exists no violation of constitutional law when you support the law of God, for constitutional law is built upon the law of God. There may be an amendment or two in which there would be disagreement because they're illegal amendments that have never been properly ratified, like the 14th and 15th Amendments. This country will not ratify something vital to the law of God. They will not ratify its abridgment because the Spirit of God will not permit this to move in sufficient strength to bring it about. We point out to you that it be more important that you obey the laws of God. Get in trouble when we violate His laws of immigration, and our forefathers were smart enough to put up walls of immigration. And now we are being asked by executives and their followers as those round about to abridge our laws of immigration and flood our civilization with unassimilatable peoples out of Africa and out of Asia, which our forebears were smart enough to exclude, and which those that made immigration laws did not believe should be permitted to come in and engulf our society. The laws of God have been established now throughout millenniums in this matter, and no nation acquires its greatness until it preserves its culture. For this cause, we create immigration laws. We have the empty words of hypocrisy that tell us out of pulpits that are already brainwashed that it is our Christian responsibility to share this land with everybody. And the Father has ordained that you shall not share the heritage which I give you with any but your posterity. The laws of inheritance are clear. We are the light of the world. We send out our wisdom and our knowledge under God to the ends of the earth, and sworn testimony to the ends of the earth that Christ is God. We will give assistance and guidance to people who will apply themselves to the laws of knowledge and of intelligence to supply for themselves the things they need. We have demonstrated this. This is sufficient. But in our day, we are being asked to not only help the world, we are being asked to absorb the world and thus end our own identity. We're asked to cast aside our immigration laws and flood our society with the unassimilatable in violation of divine law. I tell you that to permit this country to be flooded by unassimilatable people of other races is a violation of the laws of God, and we should do everything in our power to keep this from transpiring. And if there be those that try to destroy this land by violating the laws of God, and this leadership is evil, then every Christian should pray that God sends the reaping angel and takes them out of the way. For whether it be it right before God that we pray for deliverance and that God removes and takes away those that would destroy the country, or we stand back and agree to evil and permit the judgment to fall upon the nation. Within the same areas of our problem, the economic problems of our nation are clearly expounded in prophecy. We permitted Satan's children with their manipulation and cunning and world economy to run this nation and seek to take over its economy with the laws of usury and with principles in violation of divine law. It is time for the peoples of this nation to fulfill their constitutional responsibilities and call upon their Congress to set up a just set of weights and measures to stop this strange finagling with the money of a nation and not follow the course of darkness. The time has come, my friends, for us to establish economic laws of righteousness in accordance with the laws of God. When you not have any more depressions, you won't have any more problems. And you'll take out of the hands of the money changers the manipulation that they live as parasites with upon you. We suffer many crises because we violate divine law. If you want to know why whole areas of the earth don't seem to be able to produce enough food for themselves, is that they violated so many areas of divine law, even the agricultural laws, which they don't understand, which were given to you, that this brings upon them catastrophe. It is important, therefore, that we obey the laws of God. You know, one of the great mistakes we make in this country is when we permit statecraft to violate the Constitution to tell a free people what they can grow and what they can raise. When we permit a strategy in which we destroy food because we have produced too much, while there are people that require food that don't have it. Some of the great areas of massive production of what is considered to be more than you need to produce has not been produced by your race and your people anyhow. It's been produced by the unassimilatables that have come into the country, by these economic manipulators and by these Jewish conspirators who have taken whole areas of your western land and they have tilled it and they have put it under food production to be paid not to raise it. And you pay the taxes to pay them not to raise it. And if you didn't have these people in this land to begin with, you wouldn't have to pay them to not raise something on the land that they couldn't raise a good crop on anyhow. Then there are whole areas that have been put in production so the government will have to pay them to store it because it's more than is needed. And again, we go back to the syndicates that are behind it, and you catch the same pattern of that unassimilatable Canaanite that should never have been in these United States. We look out upon the crisis of this hour. I tell you, one of the great crises of this hour is the world organization known as the United Nations. And we know that persecution from high levels have even reached out to clergy that have denounced the United Nations and have pointed out the prophecies of God concerning your being unequally yoked together with pagan powers and idolaters, forces of evil and of darkness. God calls for His kingdom and for the independence of His nations until His kingdom comes to its fall. And has warned you about associating yourselves with the pagans, forming a confederacy with the peoples of evil. I could take you into Isaiah, Ezekiel, and Jeremiah and show you the condemnation of God against entering into alliance with people that do not worship your God. I'm going to tell you, you don't have any business in any alliance with any communist country that denies God. You have no business joining yourselves unto pagans or permitting those that are the enemies of your God to have any influence or power over you. Yes, the minority race in the world, 1/6 of its population, but the dominant technological society in the earth. You are the half-nations of the world because you have this wavelength of spiritual guidance, this vision that gives you creative initiative. But what they are seeking to do is absorb that. They're seeking to reduce from you the authority of the control over the very things you've created, the very lands you have helped to develop, and the things which you have produced. In fact, so far does this go, that we take word from a pagan Chinaman and an Asiatic who moves around as though he were a supreme potentate. Never should any Christian take anything from Mr. Yuthon here or anywhere in the world. No communist society should be permitted any influence over the United States. You should do nothing to build up their economy. One of the greatest curses that has rested upon our society is that we have subsidized communist societies with your tax money. I want to point out to you that God warns you against bringing the pagans into your country and showing them what you possess and showing them your treasuries and the secret of your armaments. This was a mistake made in the ancient past by your race, and they learned their lesson, for the enemy planned on its confiscation. One of the greatest catastrophes that was ever committed was during Mr. Eisenhower's administration, where we charged this man, received Khrushchev to the United States, a symbol of Antichrist, who threatened us while he was here and who marched around our land and thus gave strength and power to communism all over the world. And we have been going that line. I hold in my hand a newspaper clipping of further evidences of intended evil. For in Washington, we now have an AP dispatch today that the President Johnson announced this Sunday that his membership of a special 12-man special committee on trade relations with communist Eastern Europe. And so we look over this committee, and it names the various men that he's appointed for this. One of them is named Nathaniel Goldfinger, by the way. Anyhow, I look over this long list of men and the 12-man special committee to now prepare to trade with the communist country. And by the laws of God, you are not supposed to trade with your enemies and strengthen their economy. So said, we're trying to get their friendship. Friendship with the devil is a catastrophe. Every American should do everything in his power to totally block and oppose any area of doing business with a communist state. Millions upon millions of Christians have been put to death by communist society. And we are at the edge of the battle of Armageddon that shall be fought with the Christian nations and the communist nations of the world. The insidious secret control of communist society by Jewry becomes more and more self-evident. Their animosity towards Christianity continues to demonstrate itself. Their cry at the recognition of Christ or at praying or reading of the scriptures in our schools becomes evident. They would like to remove chaplains from our services, recognition of God from our Congress, and the end of prayer from all civic activities. America could do well without these people. Someone said we'd lose all our bankers, but we'd keep all our money. That's a lot more important. I can't think of anything better than to see all these bankers doing business with one another down in Israel. He turned then to the words of the Most High. He said, come out of her, my people. Have no association with this. We have been warned by the prophet Joel that in these latter days the hordes are going to come against the kingdom of God. We have been told by the prophet Ezekiel that world communism will gather Asia and Africa and attack our Christian nations. We have been warned by the scriptures that deceitful and evil forces would seek to destroy us from within. We have the knowledge in our possession as Christian Americans that there is an occupation in the army of the enemy already in our midst. We have been told that they that do not defend their own households are worse than an infidel. The prophet Joel speaks under the Spirit of God and said, it's time to beat your plowshares into spears, and it's time to beat your sickles into pruning hooks, and your pruning hooks into swords. The time has come for battle. So I want to tell you this. We are being invited continually into the fighter's parlor. We are being asked to surrender our armaments nationally and every conspiracy to take away the constitutional right of you as a citizen of these United States to possess arms of your own, to defend your own families, or for any cause you might want them for, is gradually being elevated into denial. The design is being made, and very clearly being made, to try to disarm you as a citizen, right, and to try to take away from you this heritage. But your right to have, own, and bear arms by the Constitution shall not be abridged. Now I point this out to you, that since this is one of your constitutional rights under the Bill of Rights, the attempt to take them away is not the law of God. It is the law, my friends, of the world order, and not the law of the Constitution of these United States. You'll have to make up your own mind on what to do. But let me tell you this. The judgment's going to fall so swiftly on the enemies of God that they're not going to bring to pass the things they intend to accomplish over you. Whether it be right to serve God in this matter or to serve man. We have been asked to help develop a world society, a world brotherhood, and help to develop a world acceptance of all the principles of all religions and to give respect to all men's religions. I order you, in the name of God, to defy all religions except the religion of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you that there is no power in Washington that can make you respect evil. If we can sweep this nation quickly with truth, challenge them to the design and the enveloping catastrophe, they could repudiate men that think this way and take them out of office. The laws of God have forbidden intermarriage with other races. The laws of many of our states have forbidden this. The derelicts of the Supreme Court have been asked to rescind it and are in favor of rescinding this passage. We have been told of God that we are to select our associates and those with whom we thrust those of our way of life in contact with it. We're told what we should do concerning our fields and our factories. We are being ordered by state law to absorb and integrate into them people that we do not wish to have within these factories, and they are taking away from us the right to determine who we shall employ and who we shall permit to occupy our dwellings or the areas where our stewardship is directly involved. Now we hit upon a matter that is very important. We have been ordered by the laws of God that we are not to support and give substance to the enemies of our God, to those that worship other gods, that we are not, my friends, to give of our substance to the enemies of our way of life. Today we have continued to elect and support men who have devised expanding ways to tax us of our production. And today our tax money is given to Yugoslavia and to Poland. It is given to areas of Asia. It's poured into communist coffers. And the President of the United States offered $1 billion to Asia, even Red Asia, if they'll just stop fighting us and write out their ticket for our support. Now the ultimate numbers of the plan goes even into staggering measures. Now, let me point this out to you, that under the design with which we declared our Declaration of Independence, and it was well stated here, it was because we were being taxed without representation. And I tell you tonight that you are still being taxed without representation when they can confiscate your money and scatter it to your enemies or give it away to the ends of the earth. They would have you supporting the world as they've had you supporting the major responsibilities of the United Nations, which God told you to get out of, have nothing to do with. So is it, oh, this is just a wonderful plan. My friends, this is a design to end your republic and to subordinate you as an absorbed society. And if you didn't understand it, God said,
I'll do the thinking then. Get out of it anyhow. And God has forbidden you, as His children, His race and His nations, to participate in this area of evil. Very, very soon you're going to see that you are in World War III or Armageddon. You have been battling with Russian MiGs over the edge of the Chinese mainland this week. In fact, one day you were battling, you didn't know who. You didn't know who the enemy was. You're just battling them anyhow. Of course, if they want to battle, this is what you have to do. The only thing is, it's a sad thing when our missiles shoot our own ships down because our own afterburners are as hot as the enemy. But the fact remains that in this hour we are already battling communism in Asia, while we are seeking to enhance the economy of communists by trading with them. We are losing men to a people that we have promised that if they'll stop fighting, we'll support them. It's time the people of these United States told the president we will not support communism anywhere at any time. There are those who say you couldn't stop this. I will tell you something. I believe tonight if we could get the word to America all over to desist in turning any money in with their tax returns until they were assured it was going to be spent here as is constitutionally designed, that the moment you turn the money off, you'd have these fellows on their knees. Someone says they'll use the armies on you. Well, they might have thought they'd do that. Herod had an idea like that. Others have thought that they could turn armies on the people of God's kingdom. But I'm going to tell you something. These armies come from the homes of this nation. And if a whole nation exploded, I do not think, my friends, that the armies would put them down. We're not talking about revolution. We're not talking about violence. We're talking about the right of the people to call for a constitutional society under God, and cite that God has forbidden us to support those that are our enemies and to disperse our funds against the enemies of our God. We have reached the hour when you must tell it, tell it, tell it, tell it, where your strength lies and your ability to bear witness to the truth. There may be those that think we are outnumbered. I don't believe this. I believe there are more people that basically think like you, more people that want to see a society under God accomplish its achievements and are tired of their tax supporting of the ends of the earth. I've talked to hard-shell Democrats who don't want to give their money away anymore. In fact, I haven't found any of them that gladly empty their pockets and want to throw their money to Africa and to Asia and the ends of the earth. Someone says we are to be a people that is benevolent. Yes, but not to be benevolent to Lucifer. We're not to build up the strength of the witch doctors. You know, we're dumping millions and millions of dollars on Ghana. You know who runs Ghana? The one who runs Ghana, of course, is none other than Kenyatta. Now, Kuno Kenyatta is a Mau Mau and a witch doctor. He graduated in the universities of London. You know what he did? He produced a prodigious volume on witchcraft, for which he got his scholarship. Some people don't know this. They talk about his degrees. All right, you can go down here to the library and look at Kenyatta's volume on witchcraft. He believes in it. He worships the devil. And he's called for all kinds of the use of his secret art to bring evil upon peoples of your race. And he's inflamed his own people until their bloodlust have produced the greatest atrocities in Africa against white men and even against those that have not acknowledged or accepted his will. Do you think that you should give 1 cent to Ghana while Kenyatta, or to Kenya while Kenyatta is in power? Or to Ghana while we have the forces there that are supporting the communist governments and are joining their destinies with the Soviet plan? No. Someone talks about missionary activity. I can remember, and so can you, that these hostile forces killed our missionaries They were eating white people down in the Congo. I don't think you should invest 1 cent anywhere except to restore order, order and force and right under the law of God with white overseers.
Yes, you'll discover that there's something built into your race that finds a natural revulsion against violating the laws of God as it relates to their posterity. There are lusts and violence and evil. They produce the catastrophes of Sodom and Gomorrah. And as it was in Sodom and Gomorrah, so is it in this latter day in the entire world order, picked to this level of evil. The law of Most High God calls upon you to denounce it, to separate yourself from it, to lift up a right standard. Even this very week, in our own legislative committees in Washington, in Sacramento, under the judiciary, they have a bill before them. The bill calls for the fact that if two or more people were engaged in target practice, or if they were engaged in telling somebody how to handle or use a firearm, or if somebody there could be established or could be considered an associate to a paramilitary military group, that they would have to, they could be arrested, they could spend a year in jail and $1,000 fine. The law also states that the only people that would not be subject to this, showing that if any two people were engaged in target practice, or in the discharge of a firearm, or even in a home instructing someone how to use it, that they could be given a year in prison, $1,000 fine, and only if the governor has given special permission to an ROTC group, or to a special veterans group, or special permission to some group that intended to use their authority under the direction of the state, that this could hold, proving that they're not, my friends, concerned just with paramilitary groups, or the other groups would not have to get their permission from the governor. Now, we're not citing how to influence legislation, which is supposedly not the responsibility of the church, though the church has a right to make its mind clear on anything that affects its security or that of its parishioners. But when this very committee sent us an invitation to be up there Tuesday night to speak before the judiciary on what we think about this, we will then utilize the same invitation to tell you what we think about it. We think that such a bill would be criminal in its design. It would be conspiratorial against the rights of the citizens of the state of California. And I think that this is just a design to pick up all the Christians they can and harass them. Every patriot that's against communism, every conservative is an extremist, they have declared. And every individual that loves God and would fight communism and would defend their homes would therefore be considered suspect. Who would interpret what was a military group? Would our Christian men in this congregation be considered a military group because they stand together for God against communism, because we sing Onward Christian Soldiers? Would a men's brotherhood and a Masonic lodge be a military group? Would the John Birch Society be a military group? Now I'm going to tell you something else. Under the laws of the land, there isn't any law against a militia. And even the Attorney General of the United States had to say that the Minutemen were entirely legal. But I say thank God tonight that we have patriots that are dedicated to defend America from a communist revolution if it starts up. But how do you know whether the third party at your target match might be a Minuteman, and they'd throw you in jail? I cite that these are all the emblems of dictatorship of the Antichrist. This is the proposed legislation. This is what they want to know, what you think about it. I think you ought to get a letter into the chamber to the chairman of the judiciary and get an airmail in or get a telegram in and tell him what you think about it. I point this out to you. God didn't call for a bunch of pacifists. Someone said, oh, look out, they that take up the sword shall die by it. They that take up the sword against the righteous. This is, my friend, the intent of the word. Jesus said, if you don't have a sword, you better sell your coat and buy a sword, because I send you forth as lambs among wolves. You know, you can get along being a little chilly, but they'll sure cut your head off if you can't defend yourself. After all, nobody knew those Jews in Palestine better than Jesus did. He said, if you don't have a sword, you sell your coat and buy one. And I tell you tonight, if there's anything that every Christian American should have, are the weapons to defend himself against the Antichrist. Throughout the days which are ahead, we're going to discover that the enemy's speed of plans upsets even the best laid plans of conspiracy. But America will soon be engaged in the full depths of Armageddon. You may already note that all the measures of alignment are moving with fast progression. The speed of the seismic measures of the earthquakes in many places. We told you that the tornadoes would come early, that they'd whip in March and April. They'd have tornadoes when they said there would be no tornadoes, and even the alignment showing this, and the tornadoes are ripping right now through the country. They came through last month, too. I stood in the home the other day of an intelligent man who was engaged in vast areas of industry. He said, you know, when I heard your tape and you talked about tornadoes in March and ripping through the country and doing this great damage, I said, well, he's going to miss on this one. It's too early. But, my friends, the measures are still there. We told you that this was going to be one of the elongated and heaviest winters of storm that you've had for a long time. And, my friends, when spring came along, you were still in the winter. And you're having the unprecedented patterns. You know why? The low atmospheric pressures that we are having that are bringing in this areas of inundation are the small alignments that have come so close together that I told you it's hard to determine where the influence of one starts and one ends through these early months. That's why there's been little tremors here, little tremors there, and there have been earthquakes all over the world, and you're getting this tremendous wave of water, downpour, and snow, and so forth. It's a measure of the time. You're going to see a lot of change patterns because the measures are already set for them. I'm going to tell you this also, that God's got some big plans, as we told you a week ago, on swallowing the dragon seed and the serpent seed that pours out of their mouth. And I'm going to tell you the kingdom of God will survive because God has willed it. There will be those that will try to read into what we say inferences that we have not stated. But we point out to you clearly, in every issue, obey first and foremost the law of God. And you will be closer to constitutional positions that has been taken by the destroyers that are trying to set aside the Constitution. Again, we point out to you the very First Amendment of the United States Constitution, or the first article of it, gives the authority to determine the qualifications of electors to the individual states. Not only in their own electors, but in federal elections as well. And therefore, before any law that could discriminate against any states or order them to follow any process of qualifying electors could take place, this article of the Constitution would have to be repealed by 3/4 of the majority of the legislatures of the United States. What the President has asked for, what Katzenbach is requesting, what they're using troops to try to enforce, is a violation of the Constitution of the United States. I believe in the equality of God's children. We can say, Our Father which art in heaven, because they are a holy seed, and the vessels which He prepared for us. I believe in the righteousness of God, and an ultimate end when every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall proclaim that Christ is God, to the eternal glory of the eternal Father. Let there be no question about this. We will not go further tonight in this message, but this is another important week in meditation. As in this closing week of Lenten meditation, we think about the mighty work of God, the consummation of His promises and His covenant with us to justify us by His grace and to crown us with His glory. And so as we think upon these things, let us remember that this is the triumph of the Christian faith. The Jews cried out because the Pope forgot what he said earlier in the year, and when he preached his Lenten sermon last Sunday, why he told congregations of Rome how the Jews hated Jesus, how they abused Him, how they crucified Him, how they hated Him, and said they did it. And all this week, all the Jews in the world have been crying out against the Pope because they thought they had him under their thumb when he said last year they didn't do it. But when he had to preach, he had to use the scriptures, didn't have anything else to work with. He said they did it. And I tell you tonight, they did do it.